weeks before, City Council halted any Citizens Police Review Board investigation on Silva's complaint that he was improperly detained by the police on a motion from the new council member, Mark Premack, who apparently doesn't want an early investigation of this matter. Though early is hardly the word, since we are now in February and this all happened last June. In conjunction with the arrest, expulsions, and muzzling of other activists, this case throws a deep shadow on the legitimacy of the process being used by City Council. Politicians and police make mistakes. Dragging away David Silva was a big one. Silva was obviously not considered a serious threat. Had he been, he would have been detained when he showed up. He would have been searched. The immolation threat, the threat to burn himself alive, happened the previous week. Had it been considered a, quote, real threat or a real psychiatric problem, it would have been dealt with either by criminal behavior or by a psychiatric activity at that time. It was not. Dragging Silva away from the meeting in the midst of a city council was both a false arrest and a violation of the Brown Act. The Brown Act guarantees the public access to public meetings, which means you don't get arrested when you try to walk into one. Silva was excluded in one of the most dramatic and violent ways imaginable. His exclusion is one of a whole series of incidents that I cite in a lawsuit which I filed against the city last September, where I accused them of targeting critics of city council, denying them access to city council meetings, expelling them from the room, not letting them talk, putting them at the back of the line, and so forth. David Silva is a critic, a gadfly, and an influential voice in the community. He led a long hunger fast, which together with other protest actions forced council to begin addressing the sleeping ban. Ultimately, he was ostracized and rejected by the council for sticking to his guns. The new council needs to take a new course here. It should take responsibility and work out an appropriate financial settlement with David Silva. More broadly, it needs to deal with the issues of public access to city council and political use of the police department. Namely, you don't arrest people for coming into city council because you don't like the message they're bringing, and you don't use the police to selectively target those people when they haven't done anything illegal. We don't need a sergeant up here, for example, meaning in front of the city council, intimidating the public, as we now have, in a new procedure being used by our new mayor, Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, where the sergeant stands up in full view of the audience, in full with an armed sergeant in uniform, his baton and his gun there, just standing between the council and the citizenry, which is completely ridiculous, but is very intimidating. Finally, I suggest that because the council was so intimately involved in this situation, particularly the vice mayor and council member Sugar, it might serve both the appearance and substance of fairness to appoint an independent investigator here. Certainly, Fitzmaurice and Sugar need to recuse themselves. But, of course, they didn't, and they voted against David Silva's claim. So, what else is new? That's what happened after I gave that speech at City Council at the afternoon session. That actually was only the first speech I gave. I gave a second one about a claim that I made, which I am pouring through my files looking for, and probably will find before too long. But perhaps not. Never can tell here. The claim I gave that I made was for two arrests. I was arrested twice at City Council this last fall. I was arrested once for making the same kind of signal that two police sergeants reportedly made outside the window of a squad car when Christina Tafoya was being held and terrified that August night last year. And that was a yak-yak kind of motion where you kind of, your fingers go up and down, you indicate you think it's idle chatter, idle talk, I disagree. It's a silent gesture of criticism of the person speaking. This is a gesture I made in City Council when Vice Mayor, then Vice Mayor, now Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice was talking about the Dolphin Lee Project in glowing terms and making endless promises to the Dolphin tenants that are not going to be kept and that were not really being guaranteed by law, but that were simply mere assertions by the council to persuade the public and the Dolphin tenants to go along with this whole process so they could simply plop it all and the money in Mercy Charities Housing's lap. And I made this yak-yak symbol. I was told by Mayor Sugar to stop it, and I just continued making it because it's a silent gesture. It doesn't disrupt anybody. Fitzmaurice kept talking. He was speaking. It was Sugar who interrupted him, and he had me arrested. Shortly thereafter, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I attempted to, at Oral Communications, present what I called the Golden Potty Award. This is an award that I was going to present to the council to give to Catherine Byers, or to present to Catherine Byers directly. Either way, it was a free speech exercise where I was essentially saying to the community, here's our pseudo-liberal council member Byers, who essentially killed the sleeping ban because she pulled back her vote at the last minute on the safe sleeping zones, who has taken no action to make sure that porta-potties and dumpsters get into those zones, and as a consequence you have businesses screaming, oh, poo, poo, poo and pee, urine, urine, urine and shit, oh, these homeless are so dirty. What do they expect people to do? Carry around colostomy bags and catheters? I think not. You know, it is ridiculous what was done there, and it is also more than ridiculous. It is cruel. And so I presented this award, which was a sort of a tastefully golden-painted portable commode wrapped up in ribbons. Mayor Sugar had me arrested for this, even though I was doing it at the oral communications time, at the appropriate time, and I made a speech about it. And, of course, the council ignored it. But this time, for some reason, they didn't arrest me. Well, that was nice. It was probably because I brought in the portable commode. It wasn't a porta-potty, which is a huge thing. It was a little, like, 10 or 15-pound wooden kind of stool. And I put it in there beforehand. I had my little teddy bear Edwina and my red bathrobe on the commode. And I described to the city council how ridiculous they were arresting me for this. Now, it was a false arrest. What I really wanted from them was not a lot of money, but I want a set of rules that are going to guarantee free speech at city council. They're going to guarantee that Mayor Dour Tim Fitzmaurice, or Emperor Fitzmaurice, as I seem to see him now behaving, is not going to choose his favorites to speak, as he did, for example, on Tuesday again at the oral communications. The line was cut off at me. Everyone else was allowed to speak but me. And other people had spoken the week before, but I was the one who was not allowed to speak. Selective. That's a violation of the Brown Act. And the reason you have the Brown Act is so that everyone gets to speak, not just those that the people in positions of political power favor. And that is really important, because you can't have a good community dialogue when only one section of the community gets to speak. Not only does it cause resentment, but you don't get all the information you need. I mean, not only is it... Are you wandering around in the dark? But, of course, you're violating the basic rights that this country was founded on, that we all believe in our guts we have the right to, the kind of rights that Rose talked to Christina about when she was a child, that you don't, police officers who are men are not allowed to search you, that you have a right to walk the street at night without being questioned, without demanding you identify yourself, without demanding that you allow yourself to be open to a search. All these things are rights that we feel are ours, and properly so. So, the city council doesn't feel that way with its critics. The city council apparently feels that it's okay to expel people, it's okay to censor people, it's okay to cut people off, and that, unfortunately, is the situation we now find ourselves in at City Hall. With all my talking, the situation we find ourselves in at Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is what we're listening to here at 96.3, and the phone number is 427-3772, by the way. I thought I saw a caller trying to call in there. You can try again, caller. I promise I'll actually pick up the phone this time. I was in the middle of one of my rants, so I had to go on about it. I was going to play one of the many tapes I have here. I think what I'm going to do is play a bit after this next call. Well, let's see what kind of what we got stirring here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
This is Sergeant Clark of the Santa Cruz Police. We have you surrounded.
Hey, man, I've been surrounded for years by you guys. They pay you such salaries. You got huge forces. I mean, hey, let's go out to dinner.
Don't fuck with me, or I'm going to hurt you, buddy.
You don't look too attractive. I wouldn't fuck with you under any circumstances.
Because I'm ass-kicking Clark.
I see. Well, you know, this sounds like, frankly, you're impersonating a police officer, and I'm going to have to call up the SCPD. If I'm not mistaken,
and
this
the FCC.
Is Cop Watch's famous Skidmark Bob.
Famous.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, Sergeant Clark's name came up in this story in the Metro in Christina Tafoya's account, because he was one of the two sergeants who apparently brought her down to the sidewalk. May have been the sergeant pulling out the gun. May have been the sergeant with the dogs. May have been the sergeant who handcuffed her. We don't know which one did. Or certainly, she didn't say that anybody objected to this process. Have you had any experiences with Sergeant Clark that we should know about?
Well, supposedly Sergeant Clark says that he was never there, that he was at home with his kids and wife and watching videos or something.
Possibly so. It could have been misidentification. If so, but we would apologize to Sergeant Clark.
When the Metro rider asked him, well, can I see your time card? Can I have proof of that? They've been denying it ever since, and I think they're starting to harass this rider from the Metro, which for once they're starting to get some good journalists in there.
You've spoken to the writer?
Yeah, I talked to her today, actually, a little bit. Told her about my travels with...
Travels with Steve, as Sergeant Clark is?
Travels with Steve, yeah, that's right.
Steve Clark.
Yep.
Well, you know, I talked a bit about Sergeant Clark, who I initially, in my early publication, the long-lost, lamented street shit sheet, the thing I used to write, that Clark, originally we called him the kicker, because he would kick homeless people awake.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was the famous incident where he came up to a young skateboarder standing in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz,
right,
pulled out a pistol and held it to his head and said, down on your knees and say your prayers. Clark came up to me and demanded that I stop distributing that street shit sheet. And I said, officer, he was officer in those days, Officer Clark, hey, I'll print your version, but, you know, that's the report I got from the homeless people and the young people involved, and I'm afraid they have a right to their say, too.
And what did he get? A promotion to sergeant?
He was promoted to sergeant, I think it was sometime after that, actually.
Right.
But he also has been notorious in a number of other things. At the City Hall Sleepers protest in 1996, I ran into that old activist or former activist now working for the Mercury News, Pepper Spray or Pepper Tongue Pat Ring. You may remember Pepper Tongue Pat.
Oh, right.
Pat Ring was one of the people who was sleeping in front of City Hall in this long attempt that went on for 7 months to end the sleeping ban.
That's right.
Clark came up, and along with his other officers, Garazio kicked Ring awake, and he had a blanket. He was wrapped up in a blanket, and he was ticketed. It was either he kicked Ring awake or another person awake, and Ring was ticketed for having a blanket. Clark took his blanket, and he said, wait a minute, it's a cold night. You don't need my blanket. You know, you can get a picture of it. I mean, I know it's illegal to cover up with a blanket in Santa Cruz under the blanket ban after 11 o'clock at night, but you don't need to do that. And Clark said, why are you taking that? And you remember Clark's famous response?
Because I can.
Because
dogs have balls. That's what it was.
Well, I think it was because I can. And we called him Because I Can Clark after that. But you have some more sagas of Sergeant Clark?
Well, I think one of the most famous was when he was impersonating a student or slash hippie, whatever, in one of the 209 marches that occurred downtown Santa Cruz when all that was going on.
209 was?
The anti-affirmative action, or the affirmative action law. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was in the crowd with two other NET team officers, Haley and Berticelli of the Santa Cruz Police, and they were dressed with little stocking caps on and trying to fit it in.
And you recognized him because you yourself knew these officers, and you also had a scanner, right?
Actually, V-Man was the one who recognized him first, if I'm correct.
All these cop watchers have migrated to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
And yes. So I went into the crowd, and I noticed him, and I took observance to him. As a matter of fact, I even took a snapshot, which I'll be given in the Metro, too.
Oh, excellent.
Of him in his little tie-dye outfit with a peace sign, holding a candle, his gun bulging out of his tie-dye outfit, and duct tape to both sides, no on 209, affirmative action. And he was there singing, and then when I took a picture of him, it all ended, and so they all left because they knew, because the word started passing really quick that he's a cop, this and that. And I had heard him, like, mentioning things to other people. I don't know what he was saying, and I didn't get to talk to the other people to say what he was saying. But he was definitely inside the march, being one of the so-called protesters or whatever.
Now, what's wrong with that? Isn't that what police are supposed to do? Or?
Well, according to Lieutenant Habey, who after I filed inquiry, because I was threatened right after they had left the march, I stopped by and asked him, you know, I need to know, are you really politically active or this or that? And he came up to me and said, you know, Robert, if you fuck with me, I'll hurt you.
That was what he said.
That's what he said.
If you fuck with me, I'll hurt you.
I'll hurt you.
I see.
And later it was cleared up for me that he didn't actually say hurt. He said sting. And I said, oh, they sound so much alike. That was Lieutenant Havey cleared that away for me. In my inquiry, don't ever file an inquiry.
Right. A complaint is goes through a so-called investigation, whereas an inquiry just goes directly to the circular file. Right?
So if you like to be turned down right away, then just file an inquiry.
Right.
And then if you happen to be on the street one day and you see the lieutenant sitting in his car at Cathcart Pacific, there's your inquiry right there. He doesn't call me. He didn't call me for months, and I finally saw him on the street, and he said, oh, by the way, he said he was going to sting you, not hurt you. You must have misunderstood. And I said, well, no, that wasn't a misunderstanding. He said he was going to hurt me if I fucked with him. And he said, no, that's not the way he said it. Sorry, your word against his. Did you have it on tape? No, I didn't have it on tape. At least that time I didn't have it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And and then there had been other instances where I was observing their undercover prostitution efforts, having like people like Sergeant McMahon and dressed in spandex running around down in the beach flats trying to get $20.
Sergeant McMahon is now the new liaison with the Police Review Board, you know.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she is. She's taken over Sergeant Sepulveda's role. She sits up there on the dais with these people who are supposedly reviewing the police department.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anyway, so, you know, there had been other incidents with Sergeant Clark, but he's been mellow now since he's been, in the hate crimes unit? So I guess that's where he works best at, the hate crimes.
I think he's pretty good at those hate crimes.
Or is it violence? I'm not sure if it's domestic violence or what that he's involved in. I do remember I took a tour of the new police station. I saw him at least writing on paper, and I poked my head in there. Hey, ass kicker! And then I turned around the corner. He didn't even see who it was.
Mm-hmm.
He probably looked at the security camera later, found out it was me. But
you're a bad boy, Bob.
I saw his little office there. It was kind of cute, and he looked like he was hard at work with a suit and tie on. So I haven't seen him out in the streets, although he can come out in the street and has done extensive work in the Beach Flats area where this case, who he says wasn't him, wasn't there. He's worked all the time down there as an undercover officer, as a reverse sting officer, or the UC undercover agent who goes down and, you know, asks for weed or asks for to buy some speed or something and has a wire on him. And then what they do is they make a deal, and then the guy drives down the street to make the big hook around the beach flats, and then they send two uniformed cops after him.
Mm-hmm.
And they either FI him or they arrest him there and arrest him later on a warrant if they feel they want to, you know.
This is all part of the drug war stuff.
Yeah.
The drug war bullshit.
That's what they've done downtown, too, to some of the kids that used to hang out down there. They used to FI him and then decide, who should we get a warrant for? You know, the DA decides all this, I guess. And
Who do you want to turn into snitches? Who do you want to terrify into silence?
Right.
And who do you want to prosecute? You know,
and then
all of course for the major crimes of recreational drug use or sales, right?
And then they'll come in, because Sergeant Clark used to do this on a Saturday or something when not expecting it. Same kids are downtown. Oh, we have a warrant for you. Come with me. And of course they're holding because they're dealing small increments of marijuana, which people will do and continue to do.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
If they weren't doing that, you'd have 600 to 800 medical marijuana patients who are running around looking for medical marijuana after Kate Wells' club was destroyed by the city council's failure to establish a medical marijuana emergency last year.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You may have Valerie Corral's Wham, but they only serve 200 people, and the rest of them are just running around looking for...
And, those 200 people don't get a constant supply either. You know, I was talking with Ramito, who's blind and suffers from... I forget what it's called, some kind of glaucoma, pressing on the eyes, and he needs to relieve himself, and he has to take all these other fucked up medications when he could have a constant supply of marijuana, but, he gets it from Wham, but he doesn't get enough to keep him going for a week or two. I'm sure he could probably expand on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing about getting back to Clark, who hopefully, I hope the Metro is able to, if this writer writes a story about Clark, it sounds like she may be doing that. I hope the Metro is able to do it. Clark has also been has been notorious for his harassment, political harassment of John Malkin, the Citizens Police Review Board member who resigned finally after the CPRB showed it wouldn't even support him after Clark had threatened him in a meeting with him that he would expose some part of his political political past based on a political investigation he had done. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Malkin is now a Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcaster. Perhaps
that's even worse. He's a pirate.
He has become a pirate. In fact, so you might say Clark has driven Malkin into this Free Radio Santa Cruz piracy stuff. I guess we can credit Clark with something. He's
and
become,
he mentions
he
the word
man.
Anarchy is the show's representative. Anarchy and nonviolence.
It's pretty bad. Anarchy and nonviolence.
And nonviolence.
The last time I saw Clark and had a complaint about him, he was harassing panhandlers downtown, one panhandler, telling him he couldn't panhandle. And I then pursued Clark with a tape recorder demanding to know what he was doing, and he actually fled me to the police station and fled into the police station, the old police station. It was kind of a funny deal. What he was doing was he was in plain clothes, and he was just, you know, taking his time out to harass a panhandler, of course.
You know. He's got to do something, you know.
Right. It was...
What?
I mean, what I'm saying... The reason that I'm concerned about... I mean, you know, I have objections to the drug war, but when cops are engaging in typical behaviors around the drug war, like arresting people or citing people, I don't go out of my way to fault them as individual officers, because that's what they're paid to do, and I don't like it, but they do it.
Right.
But when they put someone down on the sidewalk at midnight, a 5'1" Latina woman had put a gun to her head with a barking dog next to that, for walking through a so-called cement walkway, or actually just for asserting her rights. That's what it sounds like Christina Tafoya was doing. If this was Sergeant Clark who did this, and by her account, he was one of the two sergeants involved.
Right.
That is abusive police behavior. That is excessive force. I don't care what you're doing it for. It's wrong. And the department needs to suspend that man, investigate it. Actually, the city needs to investigate him, and we probably need an independent investigator from out of town to investigate him.
Right. We'll get him to do community service with Huff.
There you go. I would say we could maybe make a new man out of Sergeant Clark.
Well, I don't know if you heard really quick. I just wanted to mention to your listeners that this search and rescue van that got broken into, I don't know if you heard about
that. No, tell us the story very quickly.
Between Wednesday, January 31st, between February 4th, those 3 days, search and rescue van next to the county building was ripped off of $10,000 worth of search and rescue equipment, printers,
guns,
scanners, all this stuff. And keys, which the media release neglects to announce at this, keys were stolen to every single patrol car in the county.
How do we know that?
Because they ripped off a patrol car in front of an officer's house in Capitola. It's in the Sentinel. That part.
Oh, it's in the Sentinel. Now we still don't know it, of course. But all right.
And they stole his AK-47 and some other automatic weapons, and whoever knows what other toys that officer had in his patrol car.
Which
and,
officer was this?
I'm not sure. It's a sheriff that has a house somewhere in Capitola. Basically, they have keys that can get into any patrol car they want, and now the county's going to have to spend thousands of dollars replacing all the key locks and all the cop cars. So anyway, I better go because Uncle Dennis is probably waving there. I hear him in the background.
It's the heavy breathing of Uncle Dennis. That's correct. So thank you very much, Bob.
I love you, Dennis. I love you, Robert.
Thank you.
And indeed, we are approaching 0 hour. Earth First is moving on to the scene, so I'm going to just tone up or key up the music and take off. Be returning on Sunday at 11 o'clock with another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides at 96.3. You want to reach me between shows? Easy to do. 423-HUFF, 423-4833. In the meantime, keep your eyes open on the streets, and if you see something happening, don't run away. Call others over to witness.